slow.
Oh, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's much easier for me because I have to type it up.
Yeah.
So you were just saying that you were 72 when the radio hotel burned down, right?
Well, I'd have to pencil it out and figure it correctly.
I'll make sure it's right.
You see, in 1972, at the time of the fire, I was really only 71. You see, I was born in 1901. And 71 would make it 1972.
Right.
That was the time of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Washington's birthday, that was.
Ah.
And, but on the tape I said 75. I must have got balled up somehow.
These things happen to all of us. Let me see what we wanted to cover.
Oh, when you talked to me about being a plumber, I said, of course, it takes money to start a business, and money I didn't have. So I figured, well, there's always a chance to go plumbing for somebody that's already started.
Mm-hmm.
But after the time of the fire, it was already too late. The 70-year-old man starting a business, you know.
True. That's kind of
I was out of date, too, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, tell me, what were some of the real highlights of your life?
The real highlights of my life was actually mining. I had mining in my mind, and I wanted mining. I didn't want to leave that country down there where I was mining. But of course, like I said, the money wasn't there, so we had to get down there to get at least a living, you know?
But you always really loved it. Did you hope to go back?
I had hoped to go back someday, yes, but it never turned out. So, well, they had a horse there, you know, and that horse and I, we were pals, together, believe it or not. That horse would run up and down the yard where we lived, on the creek, and swung his hind legs out there, you know, kind of happy-like, you see, and snorting, you know, you know. In the morning when I come to the barn, that horse knew when I came out of the house and I closed the door. And as soon as I closed that door, the horse started in. You know, that he heard
they
me.
Know. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I was feeding that horse in the morning and I was working it with the hair, you know, the whole thing, the whole body. I went up and down and that thing liked it. And in the summertime we let the horse run wild. And sometimes when we needed the horse to do some pulling, I went after it. And then I took a 3-pound coffee can, I put some rocks in it and I made some noise to chase the bear away, or a wolf, whatever. And that horse could tell right away. His hearing was keen. And as soon as he heard those rocks rattle, he knew it was me. And he hollered, you know. You know,
there he was,
he gave me the direction.
And
I had to cross the river. But that horse, me on his back, crossed the river in the deepest places where he could swim, with me on his back.
Oh, that's pretty exciting, yeah.
And at that time, every time he crossed the river there, I got my pants wet.
Gosh.
And then we had to walk up the creek about 3 miles to get to the home. And then we fed that horse. And then whatever work we had with him, he was just willing to come along mm-hmm. and do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
He was really a pal, that horse. And when we finally quit and sold out up there, naturally, my brother-in-law sold the horse. Mm-hmm. By golly, that moved me. I pretty near shed tears.
Mm-hmm.
I lost a pal, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we had no more use for it, so we had to get rid of it, either that or feed him.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, that was one of the highlights.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. And the first time we went, we were about, I would say, about 2 or 3 weeks out of meat.
Mm-hmm.
And one fellow that worked with us and I, we went roaming the hills for caribou. We didn't find any caribou, but we found a porcupine.
Ah, they need good meat.
And we got a little meat anyhow. Mm-hmm. We cut the porcupine mm-hmm. on top, took him home, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Skinned it and
mm-hmm.
took him home. And then a few days later, there were a few caribou showing up, and my brother-in-law saw them, and he took his gun and he killed a couple. And then we dragged it home. It wasn't too far away, about 6 miles from the house where we lived.
Mm-hmm.
And we cut the caribou in half, and I took the hind saddle,
mm-hmm.
carried it, and he took the front and carried it, and we dragged it home. Of course, we could have had the horse to, and a double end of sled to drag it home, and we didn't have to carry it, but we didn't think of that. We thought of the meat more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We had about 15 men up there working, and naturally they wanted something to eat.
Oh, yeah.
And those two caribou that we brought home, it was just the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, and then in the fall of the year, when it came to cleaning up the gold, there was not enough money to clean them in.
Oh.
So those fellows had to wait too, until another one of those promoters come along, wanted to test the ground, how much money there was in it, and then it was agreed upon that we let them drill the ground, and then he had money backing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he worked that ground, but I was out of it then, you see, because I had to give up my ground
mm-hmm.
for them to work it. And my brother-in-law too, and so it was my sister, we were partners in all the ownership mm-hmm. there, you see. So we had to give it all up. And then, like I said, in the fall of the year, there wasn't enough money in the ground, and we had to write to the millionaire in Seattle. There was a millionaire that was backing us, buying all the machines that we needed. And when it came to a promoter, he wanted all the debts cleared up, so we had to write to the millionaire again to clear up all the debts so that they could prospect more. And well, he sent in the money, and then I got my money, my earnings paid too, that I had to wait for.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, if you had a little money, there was always some fellows that wanted to go prospecting, if they knew that you had money, they would come to you for a little handout, you see. And if you struck a bridge, you would get part of that richness. But it was never that rich.
Now, well, it's an interesting thing, the mining. Some people struck it very rich, but there were so many people.
Well, I tell you, some people, I don't know how to put it, they couldn't help but finding it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just was coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
And not to everybody. There was fellows that, like on Clary Creek, you know, Clary Creek over the Clary Summit,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
where the road house is, and down into the Clary,
mm-hmm,
Creek. My sister and brother-in-law said there was a fella down there. All he had to do is sit in the rocking chair and take in the royalty. He got $350,000 just taking in royalty. And when he had the total of the royalty that he had come in, he went to the States, and when he came back, he didn't have a cent left. So he was just as poor as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of fellows that leaked in this, that struck it rich, you know, and in no time it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, them fellows, they were all young and full of life, you know, and full of adventurous ideas, you know. And one fella got married and he spent a lot of money on his wife, and then she divorced him, and all whatever he had left went to her.
Mm-hmm.
So it was life them days.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's much different now?
Oh, I don't think the money is floating around like it did them days.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, you've got to have a little luck, not only muscle, you've got to,
mm-hmm,
have a little luck to go and find. Of course, like on Kerbal Creek, we were 27 feet down to the bedrock, and the money was there all right, but not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, then there was things that had to be done to get that money out of there, you know.
And you never went back, you never tried it again?
Never went back there, no. But of course, after a while, that ground didn't belong to us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We had to give that up, you see, in order to get the money to pay the debts. And I don't know if that millionaire is still holding that ground or not. It was a millionaire from Seattle. And, well, he was good to us. He always got rid of our debts again.
What other parts of your life have you enjoyed very much?
Huh?
What other parts of your life have you enjoyed very much? Or when you look at life, what stands out for you?
Well, after a while, I mean, reverting back to those years, naturally I wanted to get married, and I was single. And in 1930, I went home on a visit.
Mm-hmm.
I got acquainted with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
In 1931, my sister went home on a visit. And then she brought my wife over with her.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I had to come up for the ticket, you know, transportation to get over here. And then, of course, if I get married, I had to have a new suit of clothes. And so when my wife come over here, I was $70 in debt. I had to pay for the suit of clothes, you see. Mm-hmm. So, of course, at that time I was already working at the Nordale Hotel. Mm-hmm. Of course, my pay wasn't very big, it was $6 a day. And I had to wait quite a while before I could spare the $70 to pay for my suit of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all in all, I lived through it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of all the miserable happenings, well, I shouldn't call it miserable happenings, it was all hard work. And I liked it, like I never shied away from hard work. And I had a few friends here, and the Wednesdays they come together in my place. I had a little house, and we were playing cards, you know, every Wednesday. And then my wife comes. Of course, we soon got rid of that playing card business on Wednesday because that didn't work. So we gave it up.
Yeah.
We didn't give up the friendship, but we gave up the visitations, you see, to play here and play in his house or in the other house.
Mm-hmm.
My wife didn't care for that too much, naturally. She didn't know what we were talking about because we were talking English and she didn't understand English. She didn't understand the English because back home, like myself, we never went to school to have a second language.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, in our time, that meant money. And neither my wife nor myself, we come from a rich family.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't afford it. So whatever English we got, we learned here.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I went to night school here, citizenship night school in 1925, and we had an excellent teacher. She knew just what was required to get us learn the English language. And it was quite an undertaking. I went to the editor and asked him what I should do to get some night school teaching. And he said, well, you go to the principal of the school and he will direct you what to do, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
He said, okay, enough. You let me write to Juno. See if there is money for that kind of doing. And he did. And after a while he got word that there is money enough to have two teachers. Of course, he said, you have to work to get the people to start a class.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. It took me all month
to
run from one end of town to the other and get people, and we had it in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
This newspaper aided to put it in the paper, and then by golly, by the time we were supposed to have had 12 students for the teachers to get started with 12, and we could keep going with 8 if they didn't stay. But by the time school was over, in May the following year, we had 36 people.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
A lot of people here from a lot of different places.
Oh yes, there were some Swedes, there were some Norwegians, there were some Yugoslavians.
Mm-hmm.
There was one Russian. There was a bunch of Germans. And well, there's quite a mixture of nationalities.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, that got us going. And then we started again the following year. But the teacher we got the following year couldn't keep the students together.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my wife came, she wanted to go to night school too. And then it was the same way. Those teachers, they didn't know a thing about it. They couldn't hold them together.
Mm-hmm.
Then the people quit coming. Naturally, the teachers mm-hmm. couldn't operate that way either. So they cut that out. And therefore, my wife didn't get any schooling in English. But she done very well with the friends
mm-hmm.
that she made, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She, in fact, does better with the English language than I.
I find that hard to believe. You do very well.
Oh, yes, I... for not knowing any English, I done very well with what I picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Nordale Hotel helped me
mm-hmm.
quite a bit at that. The tourists, you see, and
mm-hmm.
then the help there. And the boss, well, he's an old country Swede, he was not much better than I was. So, well, my highlights were not very exciting.
Well, I think your mining sounds exciting.
Well, my mining was quite interesting, yes. And,
what would you, if, as you look back on life, would...
Too late now
too
to
late.
Look back on something, to do different.
That's right, it is. That's always very true. You just live your life as it is on a day-by-day basis.
This coming month I'll be 85.
Golly.
84, I
mm-hmm.
should say, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not looking for anything much exciting.
Not anymore. Okay, well, I'll... Unless you think of something else you especially want to say, is it?
Well, there is nothing else that I want to say. Only, I could say, I hope my wife and I make a go of it as long as possible. Because, well, I know in a lot of things I'm failing, but she's just propping me up again, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is she younger than you are then?
Yeah, she's 10 years younger than I.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, she's not so very young either anymore. I mean,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's not so very young that she could, that you would say she would want to change a great deal. She was born in 1910, that makes her 74. I mean, yeah, she was born in 1911.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in 1901 and she was born 10 years later. So she will be, she was last April, she was 74. And I will be 84 this month, this
okay.
coming month.
you'd be that.
You want me to say something?
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
I come over here in 1922. And it took me about 36 days to get to the place where I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. From where?
From Munich, Germany.
Uh-huh.
I was born there. And it was June 4th, 1922.
Mm-hmm.
And I arrived at my destination July 9.
Mm-hmm. And your destination was here in Fairbanks.
Say, pardon?
Your destination was here in Fairbanks?
It was Fairbanks.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, this is... Sure, this is Fairbanks, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Oh, golly. You had almost get me confused.
No.
Yes. Well, my destination was actually Caribou Creek,
mm-hmm.
100 miles southeast from here. That's where my sister and brother-in-law were mining,
mm-hmm.
and I got to be a partner
mm-hmm.
in that mining venture. And of course, like I have mentioned before, that mine hadn't, it took some luck to get that out of the ground. Not only the muscle,
mm-hmm.
but the luck too, it wasn't in the ground,
mm-hmm.
see?
Mm-hmm.
So we had to resort to some sort of income
mm-hmm.
when we quit that place, because I was full of debts, you see,
mm-hmm.
I had my bill to pay for coming over,
mm-hmm.
and the money wasn't in the ground, so I had to chop wood,
mm-hmm.
and I made $6 a cord.
Oh, my goodness.
And I made 2 cords of wood a day,
mm-hmm.
that was $12.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had 100 cords, and then there was no money to pay me.
Oh dear.
So I had to wait 2 years.
Oh, but you finally got paid.
I finally got paid, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, we moved away from that place when I worked for the FE company. Fairbanks Exploration
mm-hmm,
Company.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for them for about 3 years. Then I got sick working for them, and then I had to be in the hospital 12 weeks.
My goodness, that's a long time.
Then I had to pay $5 a day
mm-hmm.
for my keep in the hospital. It was cheap them days, but
mm-hmm.
golly, if you had no money, no matter how cheap it is.
That's right, that's right.
Well, anyhow, I pulled through all right.
What year about was that?
Well, I come in 1922, and when I worked for the FE company, that was 1927.
Mm-hmm.
I worked before that too, I worked 1925. They still have the building out there on Illinois Street. I helped build in 1925 and 1926. They built the power plant there.
Mm-hmm.
I helped build that in 1926. And in 1927, I went out to the creeks to work for them. That was a mile 52 on the Steese Highway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we've been there about 3 or 4 months. We were drinking that fresh creek water every day. There was all the boys that out there
mm-hmm.
were out there. They were doing the same thing as I. Only 3 of us caught the typhoid fever.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And one had 6 weeks, the other had 9 weeks, and I had 12 weeks of it.
My gosh.
I drank most of the water.
I guess so.
And you know how you get typhoid fever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a germ that you take in. One is the male germ and the other is the female germ. It takes two germs to develop that fever.
I didn't know that, yeah.
And at that time, the doctors, the FE company doctor didn't know what was the matter with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another doctor here, Dr. Sutherland. He looked at me and he asked the other doctor, he said, how long is Adolf in here? Oh, about 3 weeks. Then that doctor said to me, he'll be 3 weeks more and then some.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was a total of 12 weeks
mm-hmm.
in a hospital. And then they come finally to the conclusion it was the typhoid fever.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost all my hair, and then my hair came out black and curly. And in 2 years' time, that curl disappeared.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I have a sister here at that time in Fairbanks. The poor soul, she passed away. New Year's Eve, 1933. She had double pneumonia. She wouldn't take a doctor because she had taken to a Christian Scientist. And then not taking a doctor, it was goodbye. You know, there was no such a thing anymore. She couldn't get out of that double pneumonia without a doctor. So, then I then the Nordale Hotel had an opening, and I had worked in a hotel back in your country, in Munich, Germany. So hotel work was nothing new to me. So I was offered that place and that I accepted. And I worked there 45 years. Yeah.
That's incredible change of time.
Until the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to quit. I was going to keep on working. But I was getting about a retiring age too, you see. At the time of the fire, I was already 75 years old.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, at that age, I didn't want to look for no more work. Who is going to hire a 75-year-old man for work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way I looked at it. Then I retired. And, of course, at that time, Social Security was waiting for me. When I was 65, I got notice from the Social Security office that I would be entitled to $165 a month, but I did not apply for it. I still kept on working, you see. And of course, when I finally quit work, I went to the Social Security office here. And then they told me I could get $6 more per month because I worked 6 years longer than my retiring age. And still, there were people that had more Social Security payments per month than I did.
Why is that? Because your job didn't pay in that much?
Well, no. I had what they called my quarters. My quarters were filled.
Oh, I
had more than 40 quarters in.
Mm-hmm.
That entitled me to so much a month.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, since that time, Social Security payments were increased.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah. And well, I had no other pension. I didn't have anything from the Nordale Hotel. And so I have Social Security, I have longevity bonus. If it wasn't for those two, I don't know what. I'd have to go to welfare,
mm-hmm.
you know,
because
I have no insurance of any other kind.
Was this quite common at that time? I mean, a lot of people
at
did not have
that time. You see, at the beginning of the war, all the unions,
mm-hmm.
they had organizers here,
mm-hmm.
and they chased them all out. The local employees didn't want to do anything with unions, you
mm-hmm.
see.
I guess they didn't realize what the union really meant.
Well, it's like this. The people that were employed, they didn't know either
mm-hmm.
what to do. All of a sudden that came since the war started, you see. Those organizers came, you see. And after a while we saw that we shouldn't have chased them out because we worked like slaves for 60 cents an hour. 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then no pension or anything?
No pension or no nothing, no.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not, well, if I had to do it over again, I would exactly do that. Be on the side of the organizer.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell me about your life here and what you thought.
Beg pardon?
Tell me about your life here during those days.
Tell me about
your life and what you thought and how it was for you.
Well, I tell you, when I left the old country, I didn't work 7 days a week over there.
Mm-hmm.
But I sure worked 7 days a week and 10 hours a day over here.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think so much of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was too much like slave labor, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But young and dumb, you know.
Well, were many people caught in that? Many people working
well,
that hard?
There was, all the people that were employed in this town
mm-hmm.
was non-union labor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At the Nordale Hotel, at the time of the fire, had 18 employees.
And none of them had pensions?
No,
mm-hmm.
no. So, well, now, if I had never left home, those people over there, they have big pensions.
Mm-hmm.
They have, they are taken care of. They are taken care of by the government.
Mm-hmm.
It's a must that you take, that you pay into a retirement fund.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not in this country.
No, not in this country.
No.
At all. No. Mm-hmm. Well,
over there, they have so much money, they can go and they can travel all year round, practically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The few relatives we have over there, they don't need a dime, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what things did you find that you liked about it here? Did it ever occur to you to go back? Did you ever think of going back?
Well, I tell you, my intention was to stay 1 year just to find out.
Mm-hmm.
And that 1 year hasn't ended yet. I'm here 63 years now.
Well, of course, now it's no more use to change, because friendship is too late to get started now.
And friendship is very valuable.
And all my friends are here. So what am I going to do anywhere else? You know, I wouldn't change. I would stay right where I am. I have Social Security, and I have my longevity bonus. And my wife is the same way. She has the same thing, Social Security and longevity bonus. And between her and I, we make a go of it. We cannot splurge, no. But my wife got everything figured out just right. We live good. And my wife watches when she does the shopping to take advantage of everything that can be had, you know.
Well, how did you find Fairbanks in those days?
Did I find Fairbanks? I tell you, Fairbanks was a pretty small little town. There was there were 1,200 meters read, you know, electric meters. When the meter reader came to our place, I asked him, how many meters you have to read? Oh, he said about 1,200. And at that time, I had a house, I had a log house. It was a two-room log house, and I added a room. And then I had electricity. I had a long cord, about 30 feet long, so I could go any place in that house, you know, one light, $2.50 a month, one light. That was a flat rate. And when the missus came in 1931, when we got married, she took that one light, and whatever she wanted to do some work, you know, she put that light and hung it up somewhere, or moved it again somewhere else, you know. Well, it was a light anyhow. I had no other light in that place except candle and oil lamp, you know, coal oil lamp. And in the spring of the year, when the ice went out, we had a flood.
Every year?
Every year, practically, yes. And I had some boots. I had about this much water in the house.
Oh, my.
And I took my wife, carried her across the lake on the outside. And when I was out there, I took off my boots and gave them to her so she could come into the house. And I went to work. Oh, golly. Of course, she come from a big city like myself. I come from Munich, and so did she. She had no idea that she had to put up with stuff like that, and neither did I. But we've gotten so used to it now. We wouldn't change. No, we wouldn't. We couldn't stay right here.
So there must have been many good times and many bad times.
I tell you, we had pretty good times. My wife helped me. You see, at one time, I belonged to the Odd Fellows, you see. And, of course, she didn't know what the heck I was doing, you see. The Odd Fellows was strange to her. It was an organization, you see. And I went through all the chairs for the Odd Fellows. And I had to go, naturally. I had to attend and
she didn't know the make of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then come the Eagles. I'm a 60-year member in this organization here. I joined in 1925,
mm-hmm.
and at the beginning of this month, January, in the beginning of January, they gave me a 60-year pin.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm.
And then a nice plaque, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I belonged to the pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
In 1952, the missus and I both joined the pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through all the chairs,
mm-hmm.
the local igloo and the state igloo.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is the past grand president of mm-hmm. the state igloo,
mm-hmm.
all the pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to show you these two things I'm talking about it.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, yeah. Well, you don't have to take it off. I can see
it. Yes, I want to take it off. I want you to read something. Well, it's right here.
Okay. I've got it. See, I don't know if I can read that or not. It says...
Can you?
Presented to Adolf Stock, A. Stock, President Igloo
number four,
Pioneers
of Alaska.
Of Alaska, 1962.
Yeah.
How nice.
And this
1969. So you were very actively involved in the community a lot then, is that?
Yes, ma'am. I was never in office for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I've been I was a 60-year member
mm-hmm.
last January. They gave me a 60-year pin.
And you built a little house here and raised your family here?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sold that house and we bought a house on 9th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And we paid 12 years on that house. But the missus fixed it all up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show place to live in it.
Are you still living in the same house?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
We lived there since 1948.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, my wife is just out of this world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could have done any better than if I wanted to. No. No. No such a thing. Well, anyhow, I've taken in a lot of conventions
mm-hmm.
with the pioneers. And of course, too, being the president, I was assisted in the expenses
mm-hmm.
of a convention, you see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd be very interested in hearing what life was like in those early days of Fairbanks and what, how you managed and
things. I'll tell you. If it hadn't been for the missus, I wouldn't have gone through any of the chairs of any organization.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But she got me, you know. She,
mm-hmm.
You couldn't take that.
Mm-hmm.
You want it, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Sure I want it. To heck with it.
Mm-hmm.
God, no. No, I didn't do it that way. I said I wanted it because I know I had her.
Mm-hmm.
Assist me in anything that came up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm thinking of sort of everyday life and what it was like for you years ago. And can you remember back things that were real highlights?
Yes, I remember when the war started.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, Fairbanks had the general public by the neck, you know,
mm-hmm.
the Fairbanks business people.
Mm-hmm.
They were just crazy, you know,
mm-hmm.
with their prices. Until the army came.
Mm-hmm.
They told them, you charge so and so and so and so, and no more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For an instant, the chewing gum.
Mm-hmm.
The Fairbanks business people charged 25 cents a pack mm-hmm. of gum, of 5 sticks in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the army said, 5 cents and no more.
My goodness.
So,
yeah.
And so they did with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So the army was really good for Alaska.
The army did good for the people, for the mm-hmm. general public here. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You feel a lot of the businessmen were making a lot of money at the expense of the ordinary person?
Yeah. Two. Well, like I said, the business people had this town by the neck.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't, because it took months to ship everything, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, it took their money, it was our money too, you see,
mm-hmm.
their money to pay for all that. We paid for it, you see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And well, yet I stuck with that Nordale Hotel 45 years. I didn't have to stick there either, but where I was going to go.
Was there not much opportunity?
No, the opportunities were not that great. This was too small a town, you see.
Mm-hmm.
If it had been out in the state somewhere like Seattle or San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
Chicago, New York,
mm-hmm.
it would have been different. You could have looked for work.
But there just wasn't much work?
But there wasn't that much work here, no.
Mm-hmm.
It was mostly mining,
mm-hmm.
you see. And I was mining too, but like I said, you need luck
mm-hmm.
when
mm-hmm.
you go mining.
Mm-hmm.
Not only hard work,
mm-hmm.
but luck.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
I think that's true. Did you think of going back to the FE company to work, or doing anything else other than working for the Nordale Hotel?
I haven't gone back, because I then started with the Nordale Hotel,
mm-hmm.
you see. I was made maintenance engineer right then, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I was a plumber by trade anyhow, and that just fitted that
mm-hmm.
job, you
mm-hmm.
see. Toilets need to be taken care
mm-hmm.
of. And
did you ever think of going in the plumbing business yourself?
No, I never did.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it took a little money too.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, money was...
This is stopping. Mm-hmm.
Money was the... Well, it was the greatest evil, you see.